I am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
Look, I get spam emails like the next guy. I mean, we all get the spam. I think that the algorithms are getting very, very advanced. Like, they know how to target you. And here's how I know, because I was typing up the notes for this episode, in fact, and in my email inbox came a spam email. I mean, I'm assuming it's spam. I guess I shouldn't jump to that conclusion, but the subject was how to get rid of man boobs. I can only think that they were targeting me based on my search history. I'm not sure. I do know that it came in my inbox. I was like, this is creepy. How did spam know to, and I'm going to read the email. Who isn't going to read that email? I don't know. I don't think I'm abnormal in that regard. I think all of us, men and women, would love to get rid of man boobs just in general. Like, just in general. I think the earth would be better without man boobs. Look, is that controversial? Probably a little controversial. I'm going to stay with it, though. I'm going to stick with it. This is what I think. This is, you came to this podcast because you're like, what Sid thinks. It can be bad, good. You may not agree with it. I think we can all agree objectively that we should get rid of man boobs. And so I read about it. I scrolled about how, you know, it's horrible, it's embarrassing. I can only assume. And then lo and behold, it's a drug. It's a drug that helps get rid of man boobs. And I'm going, luckily, is that a drug? Because I don't want to take the time. I frankly don't want to take the time. I know it, I'm imagining it takes a ton of time to get rid of man boobs. And I don't have the time. I mean, I don't have the time. I don't think any of us has the time. And so I think that having a drug is a solution to that problem times 10. And that's kind of where I'm at on that. Yeah. That's how this one began. This one and a glass of scotch is how this episode just began. I have to tell you, when I fixed up this studio that I'm sitting in right now, that I'm still I'm in the crush stage of this studio. Like, I have a crush on my own studio. I haven't been married to it long enough where I'm like, it's great, it's fine, but it's not like the initial crush. Like, now we're just sort of getting along and we're working well together and there's moments of excitement, but, you know, we're doing the business, right? Of day to day. I walk in the studio and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was such a funny joke. You're so funny. It's what I feel like saying to my studio. One thing I did was I put things in here that annoyed me during the last show so that I would be less annoyed during this show. I'm not, like, my goal is not to be joyful. It's to be less annoyed. And I think that's fine. One of the things I did was spend $10 on a, not kidding, headphone hook that attaches to the boom thing, mic thing that my mic's attached to. It's a headphone hook, because when I had my old place that I did, it wasn't really a studio per se, but my old location, I would set the headphone and kind of balance it very precariously on the way worse mic stand. By the way, I have a nice mic stand now. I would sort of balance it and it would fall off and it would just annoy me. $10. And the only reason I knew it existed because I saw a video of somebody else doing a podcast. I was like, that guy has a hook. That's, first of all, that's not fair. If you listen to my podcast last week, I was like, that's not fair at all. Second of all, I got to get me one of them headphone hooks. So I did. And now after I record, guess what I do? I just hang on my headphones. I just hang them up on the hook. Even when I just finish like a thought or like these notes, print them out, and I run upstairs. I got to get a glass of water right on the hook. You think that's mundane and you think that's stupid, don't you? Well, you got another thing coming. And that's that I'll do whatever it takes to make me less annoyed. Because the less annoyed I am, the better work I do. The better work I do, the more joy in my life. You know, you didn't think there was math, but there is. That's some sort of theorem. I don't know by whom. It's a Pythagorean's 8th theorem, that the less annoyed you are, the better work you do. The better work you do, the more joy you have in your life. Got it? Dig? On that note, thanks, you know, to the Patreon folks, to the reviewing folks for stepping up to the bat, stepping up to the plate. Oh, God, I'm such a bad sport. I'm not a sports fan. I know. Stepping up to the goalpost. I don't know what happens in sports, but you guys showed up and you did that. And thank you for doing that, because it does, it's the work I'm doing. It's the work I'm doing, and you're coming forth to deal with it and in a good, in a positive way. And I hope that makes you feel better. Does it? Okay, great. This is the Ardbeg. Note to self, edit out that cough. This episode is titled In a Land Far, Far Away. I'm not talking fantasy here. I'm not talking some sort of Princess Bride kind of thing, which is easily in the top 10 favorite movies of me. This is an idea and a thought I've been thinking about recently and beyond, which is as we negotiate this kind of modern world craziness and we sort of cursorily say, you know, gosh, I want to fix things about my life and I just want to sort of continue working. Here's what I, total tangent, okay, because I can do that now. Here's a goal for me. I never want to stop working on myself. That's what I decided in the car the other day. I was like, I don't want to ever stop working on myself. And what that means is for me, this, I was like, this totally works for me because no matter what I'm able to do at any given time, like right now I can run ultra marathons, not very fast, but I can run them. Right now I have the energy to do stuff in physically, but maybe I don't have that. I get injured, something happens and I can't. Nothing stops. The ethic of like, I always want to be like engaging and improving and thinking and doing that thing. The idea of retirement is meaning a completely different thing for me. It's like, yes, would I love to not have to do some of the things that I do? Sure. And if retirement means I cannot have to do those things and then just spend as much or more time doing other things, great. But it's not going to be stopping. The word retiring isn't applicable in terms of my goals in my life. I think the better word would be channeling. Like at some point I want to be able to channel my efforts into areas of choice rather than areas that were previously not by choice because of, I mean, ultimately by choice, but you know what I mean. I hope you know what I mean. But like, you know, we have obligations to raise families and these are choices we make. And within that umbrella, we have to do things sometimes that we don't want to do. This is like a big thing for my kids. I'm like, look, do you think that I want to be cleaning the house? Because this isn't all my mess right now. Like we do things as a family that aren't necessarily exactly what we did, but we do those things because of the good of the family. And those are the you know, capital C choices. Did I tangent fully? Fully, fully tangent. But when I get older, it's like, I want to keep working on myself. I mean, I think that's just the long-term practice. I'll say it, small stepper. I don't really talk about that aspect too much in this show, but that's what that is. It's like a constant engagement practice. It's just never stops. It's just never stops. Thank goodness, right? I don't ever want to just be like, yeah, phoned in, got it. It just sounds so boring to me. I mean, it really sounds so boring. I don't know. I think that the existence of human beings is intricately related to work and thought and process. I feel like I'd be less human if I stopped doing stuff. You know, if I stopped engaging on that level. It's just me. But I think I was just thinking about it recently. I was like, I don't want to ever stop. If I can't run, I'll do something else. I'll learn a new instrument or just something. You know, like I always want to be engaged on that level. I don't really know why I even got into that. I will say another little side note, because now I'm just off the rails and just going anywhere in the world. You guys who have followed my YouTube videos will know that I surprised my eldest daughter with a Taylor Swift tickets, took her to a Taylor Swift concert. All about her. I mean, I don't enjoy. And then the second thing I did was one of the twins, the girl twin, surprised her literally on that day, like said, you're getting in the car, here we go, to a Phoebe Bridgers concert, the girl music, singer-songwriter that she and I both love. And all that was left was my son. He came in last. I was trying to like, what am I going to do? I owe him one and I want to do it. Lo and behold, the Pixies. Oh, the Pixies. Playing on a Tuesday night, for crying out loud. 4.5 hours away. So he gets home. He thinks he's going to go. We have just like them in like the summer tutoring thing where they're just like keeping up with schoolwork and stuff. And he was like getting ready. He had done his work to do the tutoring. He's holding it. And he's like kind of, and I said, boy, I bet you'd like to skip tutoring. He's like, yeah. And I go, well, guess what? You're skipping tutoring. You're getting in the car. Your bag's already packed. Boom. We're going to see the Pixies. He couldn't believe it. It was so fun. We drove down there, had a little dinner together, went to a concert, saw the Pixies. Man, they still got it. Frank Black, you know, one of the best songwriters of all time. I'm just going to say that. It's what I think. Here's where Frank's lacking. Clearly, he's in this mode where he's like 53 or 54, where he's like, look, I had a lot of good work and people love what I do and I can make a good living doing it. But there's a level at which I'm just going to kind of show up and play the songs and not say a thing. The entire, he just one song into the other. Good performance, great performance even. Just good energy, great. But just let me, can I just get through the 15 songs and then I'm going to go sleep because I'm 53 and I just want to make a good living finally after busting my ass for all these years. But still, just such a good show. My son was a big Pixies fan. You know, chip off the old block. And they played all of his hits that he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear four specific songs. They played all four. Is that Kismet? Can somebody email me and tell me what Kismet means? Mm. Okay. In a Land Far, Far Away is a reference to this idea that so much of our decisions to change and fix our lives, or I'll just say improve. It's not like we ever are broke. I mean, some of us are actually broke. We get broken, like broken. But most of it's tweaking, right? It's adjusting and tweaking and editing. And I think when we frame things in a eventually kind of model, my goal is to, I want to eventually, we lose. It just bites us in the ass. I think when we frame things in terms of long view, long like dates in the future, or something a long time in the future, we lose because I don't think we're wired that way. I don't think we actually evolved that way. And I think that that's still very hardwired into our beings. When we were living in nature, we didn't go, if I do this thing today, based on this research I read, I will not get this thing 30 years from now, or I'll have a less chance of getting this thing 30 years from now. I think for most of our existence, we didn't have that kind of idea. Is there value to that stuff? Sure. And we can make hits and changes today that we think statistically are going to change. Don't get me started on this whole like analyzing research and all these kinds of things to say like, look, I'm not even going to open that back. I'm trying to actually get an interview going with a guy about research, not about specific research, but about research in general, like how they're crafted and manipulated sometimes or not, or how the human bias, natural bias, sort of how that's injected into research. I'm totally fascinated with that. And it's made me over the years, and I'm a big fan of research, and obviously my books have been based on research, and I'm reading it. But at the same time, I hate getting in an argument about research because there's so much out there that it's like the news. It's like, is it this way or is it the opposite this way? Well, we all both have studies to show that. And it's like, oh, God, you know, there are bigger concerns at play, in my opinion, and partly, and really one of the big reasons I launched this podcast, because I think there's bigger pictures and I don't want to get muddled in the, well, I have a study. Well, I have a study. Well, I have a study. Okay, let's all not do anything, shall we? Okay, good. On that note, so when we sort of like go like, eventually I want to not get diabetes. I don't want to get cancer when I'm 85. Like that's all good. It's all valid. I just don't think it necessarily gets us going today. I think that when we have a hard end date on certain things like a diet, we'll do that hard end date 21 days from now. Okay, boom. Like we'll kind of I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 21 days at like we've got that hard end date. You know, my problems with those is because again, that's not real change. When I said I want to never stop working on myself, a diet isn't somebody working on themselves. It's somebody trying to lose weight. It's not the same thing. I'm gonna take that to the mat every time. Trying to lose 10 pounds isn't the same as working and developing yourself. The effect of that working and developing yourself can be that 10-pound weight loss, but it's unrelated to the 10 pounds you might lose in a diet. It just is. We have to, in order to actually fix the things and edit and adjust the things we in our lives, we have to value today. If you say, I don't want to get diabetes, no go. It just doesn't, but what about dinner tonight? You know, like that's always going to be the question of like, I want to do this eventually. I'll just do that tomorrow because tonight I've got this party. Well, there's going to be something else soon. And we're just quickly going to devolve back to the other bullshit that we were doing before that we didn't want to be doing, and we just haven't framed the change we want to make in a way that actually gets us to make that change. I want to feel better immediately. and get diabetes, okay, now we're cooking with gas. Like now we're kind of like, okay, eventually I don't want the thing, but also like really what I'm after is like, I don't want to feel this. I'm tired of feeling the way that I feel right now. Like I'm tired of that. And even if I plan on not getting diabetes, I still got to tackle this thing of like me not feeling better right now. And this is not to say that you can make, let's say, a dietary change and feel immediately better today. In fact, the irony is that sometimes you feel worse in the immediate because you make some sort of stark change and your body's like, yeah, well, guess what? We're going to kick into some craziness because you just took out all the high protein that we've been eating for 30 years and now I'm going to feel all wonky. But with that said, even if we don't feel better today, it's the wanting, it's the ethic of a desire to feel better today that I want you all and me to attach to. I want us to understand that the not getting diabetes at 85 years old is also to, we sort of see that present in the future. Did I just blow your minds, man? Present in the future, the moving present, right? We sort of envision like, well, 85, I don't want diabetes because I also want to feel better at 85. But just so I know, I also want to feel better now because I don't want to feel better because I also want to feel better at 85. I want both. I think we all want both. I think studies and research tend to frame things in a, like how many lectures are, like I speak at VegFest all over the country and every one of them has some sort of thing on diet and heart disease and diet and this and it's statistics and it's like diet and cancer and diet and heart disease and diet and blood pressure and diet and all this kind of stuff. And it's like the statistics and the charts and the graphs. And then we go home and go, what am I having for dinner tonight? Well, I read the statistics, but man, I don't have any idea how to sort of make this happen long term. But more importantly, like I want this thing for dinner because I want to feel good in the moment. And so let me capitalize on that ethic. And I call it an ethic, by the way. I always have. This show, last show, the whole deal. It's an self-care. I think we should look at it as a right and wrong issue because I think it is a right and wrong issue. I think it is a right thing to take care of ourselves and to recognize that that's what we want to do and not apologize for it ever again because we can't afford to apologize for freaking wanting to feel good. That's the best thing in the world when you want to. And then when you acknowledge that, you don't try to hack it. You don't try to do things that cheat you feeling good, like drugs and junk food. You most of the time do things that actually make you feel good, and you can be a freaking adult about it. It's the ethic of this desire to feel better, the desire, whether or not you do, it's the ethic of the desire to finally be like, you know what, I am freaking over it. I don't want to feel crappy about it. I am done. I'm so sick of being overweight. I'm so sick of not having energy. I'm so sick of being in a bad mood. I'm done. And great. If all what I'm doing today affects my health 30 years from now, where I'm still going to be me and still wanting to be happy in the present, then let's just get this ball rolling once and for all. It's so funny. Like my work has always been, and this has never been a target. I don't think about target markets. I'm not good this way. I'm just noticed that my work has fallen into the laps of people who are like 40 to 65, like 35 maybe to 65, 7. It's this like, we're done. I'm done. I was younger and kind of immature and sort of did the yo-yo dieting and thought that I could hack this thing. And each time I did it, I thought I could. And then just like, no, hack it. No, can't do it. I can't do it. I'm so over it. Is there another way to do this? Oh, really? Let me listen to what you have to say. That's always been the way. It's the weirdest damn thing. Or not weird. It's just sort of a mature sort of, I'm here now. Can we get this actual work done? It's like this. And I think it's getting worse in a way, like with the entitlement kind of, again, I'm going to sound kind of old, but like the new, not millennial, but like the next generation, whatever they're called. I think they're called Generation Lazy. Is that right? Generation Entitled. It's a Generation E. Can I have a raise? I'm going to come back to that. Why? Just because the sell for healthy eating, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about healthy eating because it's easy. I think the sell for healthy eating can't be longevity. The sell for healthy eating can't be tongue twisters. No, it's just I don't think the sell for healthy eating can be athleticism, athletic prowess. I mean, look, I'm plant-based. I don't hide that. Are there professional amazing athletes who are not plant-based? Yeah, most of them. Overwhelmingly, most of them. So again, I don't want to get into this like, well, plant-based, you can be an amazing athlete, which you can, but you can also be an amazing athlete and not be plant-based. I mean, I watch ultramarathoners. Zero of them, except for maybe five, are plant-based. Now, there's some amazing ones for sure, which means you can do it, but you don't have to do it. Now, you're going to say this to me, well, yeah, but longevity. And for sure, to be sure, if you eat better and can have athletic prowess, you can also, if you eat better, you know, eat in a way that also allows you to do it longer, there's no doubt. But I think that it has to be about bigger picture than these, like, not getting this 30 years from now, you know, it's going to deliver you this thing, because you can always go like, yeah, but these people are eating stuff that I kind of feel like I'm more into, and they're also doing really, really well. And the only answer I can say to the back is, yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. Too many people we can point to with worse diets, for instance, live a long time. I mean, there's people who were like living 115 years old. I mean, in fact, I think the oldest person in the world just died at like 117. They weren't eating like I'm eating. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all these things sort of fall away when you go, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? And then I can get in statistics and say, yeah, but most people, it's like, oh, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. The sell has to be, to me, that you're not only, but almost entirely, you're going to feel better right away. You're going to feel better right away, and you're going to buy yourself some good living along the way. Mm. Not necessarily at 117. I think when you talk about that kind of longevity, you are actually talking about things like genetics, things that are less at play day to day today. You know, like a very small percentage of diseases are actually genetic. Like, I'm going to get this 100% because I'm genetic. By the way, there's somebody I came across who claims that they have a genetic, sorry, they haven't, this is not, I'm totally tangenting yet, a autoimmune disease against gluten. They have an autoimmune aversion to gluten that's not celiac. Anybody? Can you guys send me what you got? Because I can't find it. I can't find an autoimmune. I think there's things like Hashimoto's, that's an autoimmune disease that has the correlative effects from gluten, like negative effects from gluten, but that's not an autoimmune allergy to gluten. So you tell me, you show me podcast at sidgarzahillman.com. If you guys are wondering, that email's still rolling. You show me something that is that, because I'm not even being snarky. I'm literally saying, show me, if you got something, show it, because I want to know about it. Okay? Okay. So back to this. The sell for, let's say, plant-based eating is a mental and physical feeling better today. It's got to, look, you can sit in the lectures about heart disease, and that's a bonus. These are, not getting diabetes is an add-on. It's a bonus. It's like, oh, really? That's a side effect? Oh, that's killer. That's great. Oh, less chance of getting cancer? Oh, well, that's awesome. Less chance of getting heart disease and Alzheimer's and stroke? Bonus, 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 bonus. But also, like, I can start eating and feel better mentally and physically today? Oh, that's kind of cool, too. That's a pretty nice package. In a Land Far, Far Away is an idea that the idea of looking ahead so far in the future, in terms of our wanting to live better, does not generally work. It's a consideration, to be sure. It's something to think about a little, fine. But it's got to be, for actually it things to change, it's got to be about today. It's got to be taking action today so that you actually feel better today. That's the sell. That's got to be the sell. I think that there is a lack of a good sell in the world on these kinds of things. I think we are marketing to not getting these things eventually. I think that's the sort of the thing. And I think that if we go like, hey, by the way, this is a mental and physical sort of you being happier about your life starting today thing, I think we can do a better job of selling that. At least I think I can. At least I think that the people I come in contact with can do a better job of saying, this isn't really about, those are side effects, but this is like boots on the ground, you being in a better mood at work tomorrow, you sleeping better to like immediately, you feeling more rested, you digesting better, you feeling lighter in your life, figuratively and literally. It's kind of that deal. When I began as a nutritionist 10 years ago, the and you guys have heard this story a thousand times, so I'm not going to revisit it too much, except to say people didn't follow my recommendations for long term. That's why I launched everything that I do today, is because of that frustration of like, why aren't people following my recommendations? That's crazy. The best clients I had were people with things like cancer that already had cancer. You want to know why? Because the land far, far away, they'd gotten there already. They arrived. The plane landed and they're like, I'm in the land far, far away. And holy crap, tell me what you got because I'm ready to go. And they were my best clients. And my goal from those days to today has been to try to communicate a message that you can't, that it is not going to serve you well to wait for that to happen. That if there's a way that I can sell living better and being happier that changes your life today, I'm going to go to the mat every time for that, because getting to that land far, far away, it sucks. It sucks because it's, by that time, just, this isn't a big surprise. It sucks. So if I can sort of impress upon you without using fear, impress upon you without using clickbait bullshit, impress upon you with the value that I believe these actions have today, then you don't have to think about the land far, far away. You're just in your life, living your life, making little tweaks, dealing with your life in a better way today than you did before, yesterday, and beyond. If we can truly understand the today value our actions can have, the today value, yes, the land far, far away value, but if we understand the today value our actions can have, then, well, we act. Caught up with me, a slice down memory. Words were all commandeered, but in a fountain they wrote all I could see. It's a childlike offering. Caught up with me, faulted and withering, bound by nothing at all. It chose its time to be seen, and it was all I could see. How many ways will come? How many ways will come? How many ways will come? And will come tenderly. Caught up with me, but this time I watched it by. 'Cause if the day goes downhill, so it goes downhill, so it goes downhill. How many days will come? How many days will come? How many days will come? And will come creeping quietly. How many ways will come? How many ways
pretend.